Greetings, and I trust you're fit and well. This is John Thorne, and I'm talking about growing your club and enjoying it. A number of people have asked me about this idea of how do you grow the numbers in a club. Now, that could be a Rotary club or a Provost club, a Lions club, could be Legacy or the View club, or any kind of club involving adults in a voluntary basis. Clearly, people do add numbers to their club, so it's not rocket science. I prefer to think of it as social science, and I've got about a dozen ideas to share with you today. And so a lot of it is to do with people, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about adding a good person to your great club. It's matching the potential of the prospective member with the good things that are in your club. So let's go about it. Clearly, many clubs have a membership officer. It may have a different title, but it's a person who keeps an eye on membership. But really, all members in the club should feel that they are part of the membership group, adding now and then to their club. Often people think about adding about 10% each year to their club to retain their current membership list. That's probably about right. Anyway, I think the first thing to do with all the club members is to create a list, to talk to people in the club, in the group, and say, what are the great things about this club? What do you really enjoy? List them. Put them on a whiteboard or on a piece of paper, but have all the club members take part. And then, when you've come up with a few ideas, all members know that that's why they're a member of that club. They must be proud to be a member of that club, and this is why they come each meeting time. Secondly, as we go along, and I have about a dozen ideas, but the second thing is to keep a list of the potential members, the potential people, because you will go back to the people who've said no again. At that time, it may not have been convenient, but later on, 6 months, 2 years, it may be more convenient for that person to join. So please keep a list of the potential members, and that's probably a good job for the membership officer. The third point I'd make is different to the first one about the great things about the club, but know the strengths of your club. Now, interestingly, one of the strengths might be that you meet on a Tuesday or a Thursday. Now, that might be a strength for somebody who has a vacant space in their diary on a Tuesday or a Thursday. But if you meet on a Wednesday and you ask somebody who's already committed to Wednesday, well, then Wednesday is not a strength. So there must be good things about your club. It could be the day you're meeting, yes. It could be where you meet. It could be the time you meet. It could be, when I said where, it could be the suburb of the city where you meet. But I don't know your strengths. Again, your club will have to talk about that and agree that these three or four things are the things that make our club different and special and why we are members. The fourth point I'd make is that membership growth is always your club's top priority. Some members in your club might say, oh, we've got enough members. Well, new members bring a new vitality to the club. New members give the opportunity for somebody else to be the secretary, for somebody else to be the membership officer, for somebody else to enthuse the rest of you in that club. So membership growth is the club's top priority and it's continuing. It never stops. It is the top priority. My fifth point really is that many clubs say, oh, we need young members. Well, then I would prefer to say we need different members. We need other members. We need fresh perspectives. That could come from younger members, but there are many clubs like Probus and Rotary and Lions, for instance, that have older members in their club and they're looking for newer members. Well, one area to look are those people in business and the professions and other work positions who are just about to retire. They're very often at the height of their ability and they have so many fresh ideas, they have so many contacts in the community that could make your club so much better. So it's not always a young person, it's just a different person that would make a great difference, a great improvement perhaps for your club. My sixth point really is to talk about your club wherever you go. If you want new members, others have to hear about it. And if you don't say what a great club yours is when you go to a social function or a business function or even a family function, you need to say what great things you're doing in your club at the moment, the diverse things that you're doing. And this might appeal to one out of five. Well, that's all right. But you need to talk and to be proud of your club as it is. Hang out with others who are not members of your club. Be in different circumstances, but mention the great things that you're doing at the time in your club. Surely there are wonderful things that you've done in the last 2 or 3 months that's worth sharing. And then really, for point number 7, you have to be very honest with the prospective members. Be honest with the responsibilities. There must be a cost and there must be an idea that if they join, one day they might be the secretary, they might be the treasurer. In fact, there are probably skills that a prospective person has already that would be very useful. When a person joins your club, it's often the vocabulary they don't understand. They're already competent. They're already a mature adult. They can do the job, they just don't know the words that we use in our particular club, whether it's Lions or Rotary or Probus or whatever. So be honest with the responsibilities and explain the progress that one would make in a club and how quickly it can happen, because they might be wanting to just sit back and do nothing, whereas you want them to be an active member of the committee. Well, be honest with them. Then with the whole club, you've often mentioned membership growth, there's actually no finish point. It goes on and on. We do need, in point number 8, we do need to all realise with all club members that there is no finishing line. There's no end point. We just keep on track. And so every year or two, we would have to come back and again refresh the ideas that I started with. That is, what's good about the club? Why do I come? Those sorts of things. Then for point number 9, we don't just join a club. We join a club to do something. With some clubs, it's service. And so immediately or very soon after joining a club, the person would need to be given tasks. Now, if it's a service club, well, they need to be involved in service activities. If it's a club like Probus, many people have said Probus is not a service club. Well, in fact, it's a very busy service club servicing the members, with their activities, with their outdoor activities, with the activities of the meeting itself, getting new and wonderful speakers, being active in looking after each other. So all clubs are service clubs, whether they're Lions or Probus or Rotary or the View Club or Legacy, all have a service to do, firstly, to look after the members in the club. And that is a wonderful thing these days. And that's why it's social, making sure that everybody is looking after others in the club. In a club that grows and grows with enthusiasm, you really need to be diverse and to be looking out for people who are different to the groups already in your club. This is a wonderful thing. No, it's not only ethnic, but it can include ethnic. It's a common use of word. But we need to look at the suburbs we serve, and we need to reflect the membership and the population of those suburbs. And that's how we can make our club so much better. And then the 11th and second last point really is that when a new member does come in to the club, the whole club should celebrate. We should celebrate that new member, make that person feel good, and make the current members feel good, because we've added quality, we've added diversity, we've embraced a new person for our club so that it will continue in the strength that we know it has. And lastly, in this set of numbers, the number 12, is we must be persistent. And so we don't just have a membership drive. It's always part of the club's program. The membership officer quietly mentions it now and then. The membership officer shares ideas with this group and that group within the club. But we must be persistent. And so we come back to the list of prospective members. We made a list earlier when we were trying hard to get new members. That list becomes important and say, well, we need to go back to that person who's number 5 on the list. I think it would be appropriate now to go and ask that person, bring them along and ask them, yep, it's about time you joined our club and improved our club. Make our club better by you being a member. And so we have to be persistent with the people that we have around us. In conclusion, I'd have to say that in the end, you actually have to ask somebody to be a member. You need to ask them. And that's what all these points are about, asking and adding to our membership list. However, at the same time, we need to retain the members. And that's why really point number 1, where we created a list of the great things in the club, comes to the fore. And so retainment happens when we involve all members, new members, all members. We involve them in activities and friendship, genuine friendship across the whole club. Thank you for listening today, and remember that in adding numbers to our club, we're not just increasing the number, we're increasing the capacity to make a difference in our community. Having fun, enjoying life, sometimes doing some service in the club, or some clubs do it outside, but we are making a difference in the community and enjoying it at the same time. Thank you.